Shirley MacLaine, the actress, once had this dream that she shared of a gorilla chasing her. And she started running fast, but the gorilla was running faster, and he was getting close. They ran through a forest, and she ended up standing on a cliff. She didn't know what to do, and so she turned to the gorilla, and she said to him, "Now what do I do?" And he said, "Lady, it's your dream. Why are you asking me?" But you know, just like Shirley MacLaine, oftentimes throughout our lives, we find ourselves in difficult situations. And sometimes we find ourselves at a crossroads where we have to make some decision. So we turn to others to help us figure out what should we do. Divine science teaches us that there is but one answer to everything, and that is God. God is the answer to problems, to questions, and even to curiosity. If you want to contemplate on a principle of God, you will then get an answer at some point about what that principle means for you. And God is the answer because there is nothing else but God. He is the only one. Now, we get frustrated because we feel that we have been doing all that is expected of us. But still, our prayers are not answered. We're even ready to do whatever God wants us to do. But we may not yet understand what that is. Yet, we will not know God while we are stuck or in bondage of the human realm of consciousness. Because when we know God, that is freedom. That is real freedom. Because real freedom is spiritual. Spiritual freedom is a state of consciousness where we live from the realization of the presence of God. This is when we adhere to the divine principle, not wavering under any circumstances. Spiritual freedom is when we let go of all fear, no matter how real the appearance, knowing in our hearts that where the presence of God is, there is nothing to fear. The key is to know God intimately. Now, while talking to God may make us feel good, it doesn't do anything for God. God doesn't hear the talking. God knows the silence. God knows our heart. He knows how to reach our heart to know where we are. To be able to hear and to know God's guidance and answers, we must be still and quiet constantly and consistently. We need to shut off all of the noise in our thoughts and the negative emotions in our heart. Just like the prodigal son, we too long to return to the Father's house. The Father's house is heaven. It's his kingdom. Peter told us, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world." God has not only promised, but he has already given us everlasting life. We have eternal life right now, right this moment. His truth is fulfilled now, in us and all around us. God is known in the world through us. But we must turn away from the corruption found in the world of good and bad, the world of change, the world that accepts the beliefs of separation and and of powers that are contrary to God. The word corruption, as used in the Bible, means anything that is not of God. For God is the one good. God is infinite being. But we must sit quietly and feel the Spirit of God upon us. When we turn to Him, it is His grace and healing that goes out into the world. I mentioned a few Sundays back that when we meditate, when we are still, grace comes through us and it touches somebody in the world. We must immerse ourselves through our soul and spirit and watch all seeming problems disappear and see challenges work themselves out. The answer to all that we encounter is God. For when we have God, we have everything. Let me give you an example. I talk a lot about jobs I've had because I've had a lot of jobs. Can't keep a job. In fact, when I first came to Washington, I came to work for Mayor Kelly, and in the department that I was to work in, I learned that they passed my resume around to everybody, and that they all came to the conclusion that, oh boy, she ain't gonna last because she can't keep a job. I worked with Mayor Kelly, and the minute I met her, for the interview, it was like she was my sister. We just, boom, this connection, this incredible connection. And I loved working with her. And I loved the job that I had. It was a great job, and I really enjoyed it. However, it was clear to me and to, I guess, many people that she would not be winning the elections for a variety of reasons. And so I realized I needed to find another job because I needed a job. So I went job hunting, my favorite thing to do. But anyway, among the jobs, one job that I was offered was to be the director of the YWCA in White Plains, New York. Now, I don't know if you know where White Plains, New York is, but it is between the Bronx and the entrance to Connecticut. It's very small, and it's known for basically an amusement park. And I needed a job, so I seriously considered taking this job. But something inside of me was like, you know, when you have your stomach is in knots, and you just, oh, it was just like, nah, I knew it was not the right job. And I just, you know what I said to myself? Leave it alone. You're not going to take this job because you're not going to White Plains. You're going to stay here in Washington. And so I decided, I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm going to trust God that the right job is going to show up. And it did. The right job did show up. Not only did I get a great job, but I got the best boss I ever had. It was a fabulous job. I learned a lesson, a big lesson. You know, sometimes you got to let things go. Give God time, you know? Just let it go. Turn to Him. Not asking Him to fix the problem, but going to Him knowing that in His presence, there are no problems. When we are afraid, we tend to give power to the appearances in our life. And basically, just about everything around us is an appearance. And appearances get in the way of our good. Because our appearances can take us down this cliff that Shirley almost went over in her dream, because we believe it to be real and to be true. And so, to be afraid is to believe, again, that there is a power greater than God. We believe the appearance is greater than God. And this basically is the Adam and Eve story. This is what happened to Adam and Eve. When we have fear in our heart, we push God away. We push His presence away from us. And we open ourselves up to the human state of consciousness, the human picture, which will throw things our way. And this is the time when we need to be very careful in the decisions that we are making. Because when we leave God, and remember, we leave God, He doesn't leave us. He is always with us. When we leave Him, we are then subject to anything out here in the world. Had I accepted that job in White Plains, I now know not only would I have missed out on all kinds of wonderful things here, but I would have missed out on being in this church. You know, because I really believe that I was guided here from Connecticut to come to this church. And so we have to choose carefully. And if you choose God, then you have freedom. Because God gave us freedom. He did give us free will, and He gave us the freedom to choose. And if we choose to live according to the standards of this world, we're giving God our back. We're saying, you don't count in our life. In other words, we're leaving Him. Yet, we already know that this world is inconsistent. We get the bad and the good, but neither of them is eternal. Think about that the next time you choose this world and not God. Because those are temporary states of consciousness. But we can leave this world of opposites and turn to God at any moment, at any time. When we first consciously begin turning to God, when that first happens, we tend to go back and forth from this world to spirit. And while we are in process, we tend to do that, and we'll always be doing that until we have the full realization of God's consciousness. But this is why we then experience God, even if we do pray the silent prayer. If we don't do that consistently, we tend to experience God spotty. You know, one day we feel His presence, we even see God in action, and the next day we'll see the things of this world. We always have to remember that God doesn't go anywhere, and God doesn't punish us, and God doesn't keep track of what you did and what you did wrong and so on. You know, when we turn to Him, we are turning to Him as His beloved child, and that's how He knows us, as His beloved child. God is divine spirit, and all that He knows is divine spirit. He doesn't know anything of this world. That's why talking to Him about this world, you're really talking to yourself, because He's not paying attention. What we are looking for is not in the external world. It is within us. God is within us. His spirit. All of the fruits of His spirit are within us. His kingdom is within us. We carry this with us wherever we go. So wherever we are, even if we happen to be on a cliff, we at that moment can turn to God. We need to learn how to exercise the freedom that we do have and the free will that we have and go within. Because what we're doing, what we need to do, is an inward journey. The journey is not out here. The journey is within us. And I believe that if we understand the nature of God and our reality, this knowledge will help us with this inward journey. We have to remember that many are called, but few are chosen. Those that are chosen are the ones who make God a priority. They make Him a priority in His life, and they seek to know Him above all else. We are all the children of God, and we're already one with Him. But we have accepted an illusion as our truth. We believe that we are born of flesh and die of flesh, and after death that we will know God. It doesn't work that way. For there is no foundation, no principle that supports limitations on life. We were born of spirit, and will be a spirit in eternity. We were already created free. The Bible and divine science teaching have given us certain principles to support our inward journey of practicing the presence of God. The first one, which is probably for me the most important one, is that God is omnipresent. God is always here. He can't leave us. He can never leave us. Even in our darkest moments, He cannot leave us and He will not leave us. But in order to know, have the experience of the omnipresence of God, we must do the Spirit to work ourselves so that we have our own experience about what the omnipresence of God means to us. The second principle is the Father and I are one. This is also an important principle that we all need to work with. We need to work with it so that within us we have the revelations of being spirit with spirit, for that is what being one with the Father means, that we are spirit because He created us not as human beings, He created us as spirit. The personality and the ego that we present to the world have nothing to do with spirit. The ancient Greeks told us that personality means mask. Our personality is a temporary mask that we put on because we yet do not know our true self. We are afraid for the world to know us, so we pretend to be something that we are not, a creature of this world. We are of God and nothing else. But first we must learn who God is. For when we know God, we shall love the Lord thy God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind and with all of our strength. In learning and then experiencing who God is, we will want to serve Him. What did Jesus say? Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. When we can truly say that we love all people, then do we serve God. This is a principle that we need to practice over and over and over again. The practice of the principles of divine science must be done together with prayer. When Jesus said that He of Himself can do nothing because it is the Father within who doeth the works, He was not speaking only about everything we do and say, but He was also talking about all of us and our relationship with God. We cannot understand the meaning of the principles and then put them into practice if we do not pray correctly. In Matthew, it says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." Our journey is to seek God out here in the world, not to try to improve our character, our daily living, or our circumstances. The journey is an inward journey. It is to practice the presence of God over and over and over again, and then some more. We need to be clear on purpose. We need to ask ourselves, why am I meditating? Why am I praying? What do I really want? To fix a problem? To get a job? A house? Relationship? Better health? Or are we willing to come from among the masses? We need to stop being like an ordinary human being who believes his good comes from this world. For it is the Father within that has already given us His kingdom. Problems will still come while we are in process. We are not to be afraid. We should not try to solve our problems at the level of the problem. Einstein said, Yet we can solve a problem with the same mind that created it. When we have problems, we need to let go. Stop thinking about it. Leave it alone. And let God be God in our life. God is the answer. The most important thing we can do when things are not right for us is to be still. Is to quiet the mind and the heart and to keep our focus on God. And if we need to pull out the Bible and read some scripture that speaks to us, we should do that. Or a book from our favorite spiritual writer, we should do that. Or listen to a lesson. I know it is not easy. But with practice, we will find that at some point, it is divine spirit within who takes over our meditation and then is meditating in us. The answers will be revealed to you if you are diligent and focused on your being still and turning to the Father. It takes patience, it takes faith, and it takes trust. However, and I repeat this one often, we cannot beat ourselves up when we don't practice the presence. Forget about it. When you realize you haven't done it, you're not doing it, take time and do it. Don't spend a whole lot of energy and mind on, oh, I'm not doing this, I'm never going to know it, I'm never going to know God. You will know God. Everybody will know God. But you have to spend time with God to know God. And yes, all of us will return to the Father's house. This is our destiny. We can delay this as long as we want. It's in your hands. It's in your hands and it's my hands. But the time will come when we will be moved to turn within and the Christ will respond. We must learn to live in the now and let the past go. When I was a conflict resolution mediator, I found that the biggest problems the parties had was that they lived in the past and they were stuck in the past. The past will paralyze us and will keep us from moving forward. By living in the past, we continue to relive over and over again that which hurt us or the regrets that we have done something wrong. It doesn't let us move forward. In the book, Living in the Nowness of the New Birth, it says, and I quote, "It is important to drop our past, let go of it, and accept God as universal Father and mankind as the universal brotherhood, and this must be done in the now." God lives in the now. He doesn't know the past, and he doesn't know the future. There is no God in the past. And we need to stop the habit of looking back. Lot's wife made the mistake. She left her old selfhood and she turned around to look back and perhaps missed it for a little while and thereby regretted it. She lived to regret it. Stop looking in the past. And don't worry about the future. Living in the now helps us to focus on God and the things of God. For the purpose of life is for God to express and be made manifest. This is real freedom, to live our life according to spiritual principles. Living every moment in the presence of God, for God does not exist anywhere else but in the present. And he is known right this very moment. There is no question that every living soul will return to the Father's house. The question is when. You decide that. I decide that. When we return to the Father's house. I say that the time is now for us to take action. Let us all make a commitment to turn to God silently and quietly. Every day, as often as we can. For the pure joy of being in his presence and to know him only. Will you join me in making this lesson practical? If you feel comfortable, close your eyes, relax your body, turn your focus within, it is the Father within ever saying to us, come to me. Come to me, for I will give you a blessing you won't have room enough to fill. He tells us, leave all for a time and be still, very still, and listen with an inner ear and an inner stillness. I will never leave you. The Lord our God is always with us, ready to respond to lead us to his heaven and glory. Our Father is ever saying, you are my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. Turn to me and I will turn to you. Be still. Be still, my beloved, for paradise awaits your return. I am ever with you. Be not afraid, for I will never leave you. Dear Father, we stand before you, asking only that you speak the word, and the world will stand still. Gracious Father, for your ever-loving presence, we give you thanks and we say Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines his face upon you and is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you his kingdom. Amen.